Okay, how's that?
It's a little thing we do from time to time. A little bit of music for you coming down the line. Just a couple of songs to help your day along. On the MeFi Music Pod, MeFi, my music pod, MeFi Music Podcast.
I'm Josh Cortex Millard, and you're listening to episode 3 of the Metafilter Music Podcast, featuring music recorded by Metafilter members. This time out, Metafilter old schooler Jim Witter, better known on site as Infidel Zombie, fills me in about being both a songwriter and a band member, and some of the stuff that slips in between the two. I'll start off the show with Getting a Tan by Devil's Rancher, then it's Paint Another Layer On by Ez de Ba, Umbu with a deeply unconventional cover of Hallelujah called David's Chords, and Bleeding Hands by Jim's band Red on Strike.
On the MeFi Music Podcast.
Last time.
Toss your jewelry case. When you're blind, you don't care if you lose or not. So it's all fun and games. Play by ear because your pitch is only lie. You got that innocent look. So now I can't believe a single word you say. All that you gotta do.
Infidel Zombie, aka Jim Witter.
Right, right. And yeah, nice to talk to you, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, doing good, doing good.
You've been on the site for a while, and you've been on music specifically for a while. You were sort of around for the beginning of it actively as a musical person on the site.
Right. I remember just sort of, I think there was an earlier version before that I missed, so I kind of came onto the site in between that and when this current version started up. It was like 2001, something like that.
I think it was a little bit later. I think it was like 2003 or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, and Matt sort of said, hey, let's do a music sub-site, and he set it up, and then, you know, like 4 or 5 dozen people sent him songs, and he realized, oh, my plan where I just manually upload each of these via FTP sucks. And he was getting back to it for about a year before he finally admitted that, you know, it just wasn't being gotten back to. And then eventually the pestering began anew, and I think it was like 2006 that music properly got launched.
Right. Well, you can't keep a good idea down, right?
Exactly. And we had you were one of the people featured on the Metafilter compilation album.
Right. Right. Yeah, we had just I had just really started with Red on Strike in 2005, and I think we'd only just recorded that first stuff just right about the time when music started. So it was perfect timing for me. I just okay. Well, now I have some stuff I can post. So that's always good.
Yeah. And yeah, it was kind of nice having because I feel like we have. There's a tendency towards sort of singer-songwriterism,
right.
Just with, you know, random bedroom musicians in general. So it's kind of nice having this more full-on band-level rockiness going on with the stuff you were posting from the band.
Yeah, well, and I like to sort of do the other stuff too, and it, you know, so it's good to have an outlet for that too, because a lot of some of the times the slower stuff or the little weirder stuff that I might do, I'll take it to the band and they'll go, yeah, how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't really make any sense for us. So okay, that's fine.
Exactly.
But I can do it, you know, nice, record it and put it up on the site, and
exactly.
So I get all fulfillment.
You've got sort of a split personality on the site as far as what you post that way, because it seems like it's a kind of an even mix of the Red on Strike stuff with a full band, and then the stuff that's very much just you doing your own thing.
Well, and the earliest stuff that I did that I posted on there, some of the stuff that's just musical, is really the earliest stuff of me kind of getting into seeing what I can do with recording and just, okay, if I put down this chord and play a lead over it, how would that sound? And some of it came out good, so I figured I'd share it with some people.
I also noticed you've done a lot of the RPM challenge stuff, the February album a month thing that's running for the last few years. Have you done that more than 1 year? I know you did it last year.
Yeah, I only did it last year. I wanted to do it this year, and I just ended up with not enough time to make it happen. So I'm hoping to get back to it again next year. But last year was a lot of fun. I mean, I decided, I'll go ahead and write the whole thing and record it. And I was using if you listen to the drums on that, there's like no cymbals or any real drum fills or anything, because all I had was loops, and I just I was trying to get it all done.
Yeah, it's a super like mechanically tight little sort of loop feeling to it.
Yeah,
most of the drums on there. With the writing of that, is that something where you sat down and you sort of had an idea at the beginning of the month or before the beginning of the month that this is what I'm going to do, and then you put it out, or was it much more of a what the hell am I going to do, cranking out one song at a time that came along?
Well, it was kind of a what the hell am I going to do, but I tend to write by coming up with the music and the melody first and then writing the lyrics afterwards. So it was most of the month, probably 3 weeks of it was, okay, let's get the music down and let's figure out what I would sing over it. And the last week was madly writing lyrics and figuring out exactly how I was going to sing them and recording it. So except for Forever, Mr. Never Wrong, which is one that I had that idea before I started that project, because George Bush always bugged me. And, it's that sort of thing is he just would never admit anything of ever being wrong. And so I kind of had that idea, but I didn't start the music for that until the beginning of February. But that was the first one that was actually done. And then I had like eight other things, because the very last song on there, I think Baby is one that I've posted on here too, is one that I'd written like a year before I did that. And I needed something to pull in and fill out the time. So I go, okay, I'll record that one.
Did you find doing the album in a month process, were there any surprises for you? Did that sort of bring anything new to light to you as far as writing style or process or whatnot?
Yeah, I was really surprised that I could actually sit down in one morning and knock out about half those songs lyrically, because I had I recorded it with the guitar basically doing the melody, and then I was driving in a car a lot and just singing, and so there were some words that just sort of poked out, and so I knew what the hooks were going to be, and I kind of had an idea of the choruses, and I just sat down and just wrote it all out, and I was all, wow, I can do that? That's amazing.
Nice.
I never thought I could do that, but...
It's a good feeling when that sort of something sort of knocks together and you're sitting there afterwards and saying, oh man, I just did that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very satisfying. It's something that I didn't do when I was younger. I probably should have pursued more, but I'd always kind of fooled around with the guitar, but it wasn't until like my mid 30s that I started really trying to get serious about it and really learn how to play. And then when they get the computer and start doing that, it just opens that whole other avenue of, well, now I can create a song. I never really would have thought before I could start putting down the layers of stuff and building it up, that I could really do that myself.
Did you ever have any exposure to like little four track cassette decks or anything like that before that? Or had you not really messed around with home recording?
No, I hadn't done any home recording. I had been in a band in like right out of high school for about a year. And then other than that, I didn't really do much musically other than I had a guitar around and I knew the chords, and it was kind of relaxing to me to sit around and fool around with stuff.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the early stuff that I did trying to develop melodies was just taking those chord progressions that I'd come up with over the years that I was still playing and say, okay, let's write a song out of that and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then when I got in the band... everybody wanted to do original music, but nobody was really writing songs. And so I just started going, okay, well, I'll put stuff together and write the lyrics. And it's just kind of snowballed since then.
Now with a band, you are, you do guitar and backup vocals.
Right.
I know some stuff. Are you doing, are there two guitars in the band? Are you doing primarily rhythm or lead, or?
Well, it kind of developed over time. There's probably been three versions that I've been in. There was the first version that I was doing all the leads, and we had a rhythm guitar, and that's what Bleeding Hands is from. That actually was written by the other guitar player, Cameron Gasser, and that one I really didn't even sing hardly at all. He had a really good voice, and him and Yvonne did those backup vocals. And then we also actually had his first girlfriend and then wife in the band who was doing backup vocals, and that led to a bunch of drama over the while, and they ended up quitting, so we brought in another guitar player. Right? Now, it's a classic story, right? But we brought another guitar player who was really good, I mean, better than me, and so he started doing a lot of the leads. But he was like, he could be difficult to work with in that if you criticized him, he got very kind of, he'd withdraw and started doing that, oh, I'm just a hired gun and I'll just do what you tell me to do. I was like, well, we can't really work with you like that. And he eventually quit. And so then I told everybody, well, I think we should stay a four-piece because the four of us all work really well together. You know, and we get along and have good chemistry, so.
Yeah, if you can make it work, why make it more complicated?
Yeah. So it's just a matter of I've been trying to develop more, you know, play more of a lead style. And Steve, our bass player, is playing a little more busy than he was. And, you know, of course, our drummer, if you listen to this stuff, that's the second batch of recordings that we did. I mean, Mike is insane. He's like, you know. So we're trying to keep up with him mostly and not let it get too crazy.
Nice.
But I think I posted, so if I know I posted that cover the Neil Young song that we did.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a garage core recording of the four of us. So that's, you know, me and Yvonne singing. And that was something that I really had to work on after Cameron left because we didn't have anybody else who could do backup vocals. And it took me probably a year to where I could learn my levels and learn to balance and learn to harmonize a little bit with it.
Yeah.
Now I think we sound really good together.
Yeah, no, you guys sound great. I always like it when there's a new Red on Strike stuff up.
Well, we're trying to see if we can get ourselves together here to get in the studio in the next month or two. So it should be some new songs pretty soon.
Awesome. So, hey, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, keep on posting, and thanks for taking the time.
Great, man. Good talking to you.
Say we had a very sticky situation. Wonder what you might do. I take my time and consider all the implications.
Those last four tracks were Jim's Forever Mr. Never Wrong, Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifters by Baby Balrog, Greek Philosophy and Friends performing the choral piece Now Sleeps the Crimson Petal, and Potomac Avenue with a lo-fi rocker called Sunlight. And that's it for this episode of the Metafilter Music Podcast. Show notes and links are available at podcast.metafilter.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, there's more where this came from at music.metafilter.com.